Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have you join us on another one of these Business of Digital episodes. I am excited about today's episode because we have special guest Casey Markey with us. How's it going, Casey?
Great, Matt. Thanks for having me today.
No, I'm excited that, you know, we were chatting with each other on Facebook and you were tossing around some ideas and I'm like, you know what, let's get this dude on. And so before we really jump into anything or what we're going to get to, maybe just give us a quick 30-second minute intro about where people can find you, who you are, your background, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So my name is Casey Markey. I'm the founder of San Diego-based digital consultancy MediaWise. I've been doing SEO since, the Excite and Dogpile days. It's about 98. I'm fortunate to have built up a nice reputation as a site auditor. That's my specialty. I've worked with companies as big as Teleflora to as small as the local trophy shop here in Ramona, California. So I have a lot of good, kind of a wide experience on how, you know, auditing a site, whether it has a million pages or honestly in many cases less than 20.
That's great.
Pretty cool.
To me, you're the bacon expert, dude. I'm gonna put it this way, like anytime anyone sees anything silly or cool or dumb or stupid with beards, who do they send it to?
They send it to Matt. That's right.
Anytime and the thing is, like, I'm guilty of doing that because, like, I get annoyed sometimes, but then I find myself anytime bacon related, I'm like tagging you or I'm sending it to you.
Yeah, and I think that probably started about 6 or 7 years ago. I really, you know, I've always loved bacon. Bacon's it's basically meat candy, as Jim Gaffigan likes to see all the time in his great stand-up. And I just, you know, I started putting more of those slides, bacon-related slides, in my posts, and I think that kind of got around, or that maybe that helped.
Help push the
recognition a little bit, but.
Well, I guess there's worse personal branding.
There's certainly worse things. Definitely. So I'll take it. If I'm known as the bacon SEO or the bacon guy, there are worse things for sure.
Well, I am excited to have you and your expertise on talking about this subject. We are going to jump into basically the SERP volatility with the core updates and what blog owners and business owners in general, I guess, need to be aware of. And so I don't know if there's any other intro or questions that you have, Dave, that you want to ask of Casey, or we just let Casey jump into it and what he's seen and just go from there.
I was just going to say, for those playing at home, play a drinking game every time we say bacon. Take a sip. But make sure you're at home and not driving anywhere, or just drink water.
It is kind of interesting. My focus specialty in the last at least probably going on around 5 years now has been the food blogging niche. Food, do-it-yourself, lifestyle bloggers. And I guess it kind of makes sense considering my love for the pork candy and heavenly goodness that is bacon. So please tip your drinks. We'll get started on that.
But were you going to jump in, Dave, and say something?
Well, I was just going to say, Casey, I know I am of the don't chase algos, and I know many people are, but there's also still, you don't have to chase an algo change or a core update to still want to understand what has changed. Like, was there new patents? Was there new, you know, different things incorporated into it? With the volatility, I know there was, you know, I'll say that they took away some of the domain crowding, but we all have examples where we can say, no, they didn't. I just noticed that for one site, you know, just last week. I probably notice it every week, and we all do. What were some of the updates and some of the things that you've seen that have impacted, you know, blog owners or just website owners across the board the most, no matter what niche?
Well, I think it all started back in August with the Medic update, and that was an extreme paradigm shift with Google. It affected dozens and dozens of different niches. It affected hundreds of thousands of sites. It affected sites that I work with on a daily basis. It affected sites that had no idea that this was even a concern for them. And even though it was called the Medic Update, even though it kind of had a focus on health-related and alternative health-related content, it affected literally, again, hundreds of different niches. One of those niches was the food blogging niche. One of the other niches was the do-it-yourself niche. And all those together, we were just bombarded. I was bombarded with requests. As a matter of fact, when that dropped, within 10 days, I had 27 audit requests. And that's really uncommon. I mean,
wow, what's a usual request number?
I would probably have 6 audit requests a week.
Wow.
So yes, awesome. that was pretty noticeable. So, I mean, within 72 hours, I had 27 audit requests. And usually, it hasn't really dropped off. And what's happened is that Google is really pushing, the bottom line user intent of this content. Does it provide value to the user? Is this something that can be trusted? And there are a lot of different factors that go into that. There's a UX factor. There's an on-page quality factor. There's a EAT, or expertise, authoritativeness, trustworthy factor that goes in with these quality rater guidelines that Google uses. There's a ridiculous amount of changes involved here. And one of the issues that a lot of bloggers struggle with is that when a core update goes through, and Google does these core updates very infrequently, but they happen multiple times a year, it's never just one thing. It is literally dozens, if not hundreds, of changes. And so these changes result in an aggregate impact that can be both positive or negative. And what's happening since this, I think the August core update, as it was extremely volatile. They pushed out new changes to that within the next 3 or 4 months to kind of dial it back a little bit. But there wasn't really a lot of improvement or any a lot of recovery until the March core update that happened earlier this year around March the 12th. And several bloggers recovered there, but then again, several other bloggers that were hit that were not even impacted in August. The problem in my niche specifically is there is an incredible amount of just incorrect SEO advice. A lot of it is perpetrated by ad companies. A lot of it is by just, again, I'm not even going to give them credit, so I'm not going to mention any names. But there are just certain people in our niche, in this niche specifically, who have been pushing paid courses for a while, and now we've known Alan has a great store. Alan Blywise, you guys know Alan very well. Alan and I have, again, probably added in more food blogs, lifestyle blogs, than anyone else in the world in this niche over the last year and a half specifically. And the patterns that we've seen emerge from the terrible advice, we can all trace back to certain specific individuals and courses. And those people, and these are big bloggers. These are bloggers that are doing 1 million, 5 million, 10 million sessions a month. They were impacted by the March core update. And they would reach back out to these SEO people they were working with, and the SEO people would say, well, you're doing fine. There's nothing to worry about. This is just Google. I can assure you that there's nothing to correct. Wait until the next core update and you'll recover. So what did these bloggers do? They didn't do anything. They just sucked it up. They lost tens of thousands of dollars a month relying on this extremely poor advice. And then June 3rd came around, the June 3rd core update. I call that the Tiffany update because it happened on my wife's birthday. And during the Tiffany update, they got hit again, slammed even more. They went from 30% losses to 50% and 60% losses. Wow. So now it's in full panic, and they're realizing, oh my gosh, I really did take some very bad advice. And so then that's when the audit requests really started to roll in, both myself, Alan, and others. And we found patterns, and these patterns are just incredibly poor. They documented link schemes. There's documented link scheme actions going on. Incredibly poor author expertise with regards to some of the content itself, especially the health-related content, where, you know, many bloggers, especially those in the natural health realm for bloggers, in my case, working with a lot of recipe bloggers, gluten-free bloggers specifically were impacted by this, because gluten-free, in many cases, these are people who have started the blog because they've self-healed themselves. You can imagine how much trouble you can get in if you are putting out these recipes and saying, you know, hey, I had celiac disease, but I've self-healed myself, or I've done this because of this recipe.
Gotcha, yeah.
Okay, and there was a lot of that going on. And as I would do these audits, I was like, you can't say this. Look, I get that this is your experience, but this is your experience. You are not a educated or a documented health professional. If you're going to say this kind of stuff, you have to back it up with citations. And it can't be a citation from another food blog. So that was one of the biggest issues that we saw was just bottom line content expertise issues, bottom line technical SEO issues, bottom line incredibly poor link scheme issues, where we would go into these backlink profiles and we would find links to tattoo sites, and we'd find links from other sites that had no business at all linking to a food blog. And it was just insane. And it was clear that there was a pattern on these, and all these links were built in. It looked specifically like PBNs, private blog networks, that this person had built in to a lot of these bloggers over and over again. And it just took a while, because we knew this was happening. Well, I've known it was happening for over a year and a half, but this person, but this, the services being offered by this person were very big. And so it's just, fortunately, it's starting to come to light now, and hopefully these bloggers are starting to be educated a little bit. But
that's what I was going to kind of lean into. So, you know, I think you've talked a lot about what they need to be aware of, but like, mm-hmm. how do they move forward from this?
Well, you know, and that's another thing, is that a lot of bloggers are they're wearing a ton of hats. They control everything. They write their own content, they develop their own recipes, they shoot their own content, everything. And so the problem is in the niche is that, and it's really hilarious, is that there are actual ad companies that operate in the niche that specifically are against site audits. I mean, there's actually podcasts out there where the people will do nothing but criticize other SEOs. You don't need a site audit. The site audit is a waste of time. It's just crazy, because you need to seek out a professional to have them look at this stuff. That's why these bigger bloggers finally did so in May and June, when they realized that they were not recovering after the June core update specifically, but also as they started to realize in March, April, and May that they weren't bouncing back. A lot of bloggers finally realize, I need to have a professional. Just like I would speak to someone if I wanted to improve my Pinterest technology or my Facebook marketing, I need to speak with someone who could take a look at my site. And when we're looking at a site, especially for, it doesn't really matter whether it's a food blogger or someone else, we're looking at really three areas. We're looking at the technical aspects, we're looking at the content, and we're looking at offsite factors, specifically backlinks and expertise of the author himself. And so when we put all that together into an audit, we can have a 40, 50, 60, 70 page document. It's going to be overwhelming for the average site owner. So we spend several hours going over it with them and telling them, here's what you should do, here's what you can't do. Oh, by the way, stop listening to your ad company on this. And hey, just an FYI, I can't find your content if it's covered completely with ads. Might want to dial that back. So those are little things that are really, it's kind of like a virus. It permeates the entire niche, and these bloggers are struggling, and they're like, oh my God, I don't know who to listen to. I've been told this and I've been told this. And I'm like, well, here's a citation from Google. Here's a citation from your ad company. Which one should you listen to? And that's the kind of thing that we as a site auditor specifically have to kind of push back on all the time, is that we know that these bloggers want to monetize, but there's a very specific way to monetize and still have long-term success that doesn't alienate your users or piss off Google in the end.
One of my favorite things when I'm told by someone that they don't need a site audit or they don't think it's like, so would you, if you were to buy a house, would you have someone do an inspection of it, or do you just buy it as is?
No, exactly. That's a very good, and I might steal that. That's very good.
It's like, oh, well, of course I'd have someone inspect it. Oh, okay. When you buy a car, do you take it for a test drive? Do you take it to your mechanic? Do you look at it and ask for a Carfax? Mm-hmm. You know, do you ask basic questions about, you know, does it have an engine? Is the engine reliable? Is it the correct engine? You know, would you do those kinds of things? Oh, yeah, totally. So why wouldn't you do it with your website? Do you just assume that it's working and it's right?
I don't understand the
like, if you just had an agency do it, mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I've been told like, oh, we just paid for an audit, last year. I'm like, okay, let's give it to me, or give me a list of the things that you did mm-hmm. since then, and let me go and make sure that they were implemented correctly. We don't need to do a full audit, but let's make sure that you implemented them correctly. And lo and behold, you know, their developer workaround for something was basically to create more problems.
Right.
Like,
very,
well,
very
we did
common.
This. We did this. We fixed it. You know, Casey told us to do this, and we did it. And I'm like, yeah, but now you fixed it by creating like three new problems. Like,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah, and you're hitting the nail on the head here. It's one of those things where, especially for sidebar, my target audience honestly is the small to medium-sized blogger who is trying to monetize. They're trying to qualify for an ad company, be it Mediavine, AdThrive, or someone else. And they just can't do it. They can't get to 25 or 50 or 100,000 sessions a month to monetize their sites. And so they'll come in, we'll schedule a quick audit, and we'll see, well, yeah, you know, you've got these technical issues. Look at these chain redirects. Look at all these broken internal links. Your content is not high enough quality. You're using a non-supported or outdated plugin that isn't JSON-LD approved. There's just a plethora of issues. And if they go in and they implement these suggestions, it's just a matter of, you know, like, SEO is all about the little things, and the more of these little things we can correct, the better and easier it is for them to make them a quality result in Google. And then I have the second group of clients who are already qualified with ad networks. They're doing great. They're at maybe 100, 200, 400, you know, even a million plus sessions, but they're stuck. They can't move past that plateau. And the reason they can't move past that plateau is they don't know what they don't know. That's what the technical audit is for. We'll go in and find that, you know, they've got extremely poor internal link equity distribution. They've got content cannibalization issues. They've got issues with their site speed. It's horrible. Or that they've loaded the sites. They've loaded the sites with so many bottom line requests, 700, 1,000, 1,200 requests I saw on a site the other day on a page. Cool. They're just not going to get that full value for page speed with regards to the ranking factor there. And we want to, you know, we would just try to unwind that as much as we can. I mean, as you know, it's very much like being an attorney. Our goal is issue spotting. You know, we need to really find all of the issues we can find, prioritize them for the client, and then correct as many as we can for them at the same time.
My favorite thing is, you know, our site's fast enough, or we don't care. We worked on site speed before, and it's like, okay, well, especially for, you know, something like recipes or for food bloggers, it's like everyone has their own variation. There's 8 different things on Google that are, you know, to me, the person looking for whatever it is, really all the same. You know, there might be some differences, but I'm just looking for the recipe, or I'm just looking for this for that. I don't care which one I click on.
That's a very, just to kind of delve in on that a little bit. You know, when you talk about the recipe niche, you can only, like I said, you can only have so many bacon maple burgers or so many bacon maple.
But can you really, Casey?
I guess that's true. You can only have so many banana cream pies or something that's along those lines. But the issue is that.
I would argue that too.
Yeah, you'd argue that too? Yeah, like, challenge accepted.
Peanut gallery.
But there is an optimal approach to these recipes. And that's really kind of what I teach with my audit specifically after doing literally almost, you know, 500 plus of these food blogs over the last several years, is that I can see exactly what Google's ranking and what Google's not ranking. And if we can dial in this template more effectively, sites do better. But one of the things is, again, UX, bottom line UX, is that how fast can I meet the needs of the user with this recipe? You know, you've got ad companies on one hand saying, please, for the love of God, don't use jump print recipe buttons, because then you're having users jump past your best content and they're missing ads and blah, blah, blah. And that they're telling them, write these incredibly long posts, 1,000 plus words, make every sentence, make every paragraph a sentence. It's just, it's baloney. It's baloney. And they're doing this so they can stuff the page with more ads. And the goal, as I try to tell these users specifically, is that if we focus less on monetizing and first on providing a superior content practice where we're meeting the needs of the user whenever possible, they will just do better. I have numerous examples where sites have got 20, almost 30 plus RPMs on their ads, and they're doing all these things that the ad companies tell them they shouldn't be doing. It's hilarious. So I just continue to taunt out all these examples of other sites that are doing these things, doing extremely well, and it just speaks for itself.
Yeah, the 1,000 article, the 1,000 word article, so that I can just figure out, look at the recipe, drives me crazy as a user.
Exactly. I mean, we don't need to know your whole life story about how you came to this decision to make this apple pie when you're living with your grandma on the farm. That stuff is very common, and people felt that they needed to artificially inflate the length of these recipes. But on that note, though, we could write a very competent 1,000 word article on, say, tiramisu, no problem at all, because we get into, you know, we really just kind of outline it there with the H2s on the page. I got a teaser text at the top. Here's why this recipe works. And I've got an H2. Here's how to make this recipe perfectly with, you know, here's why this recipe works because of this. And then I've got another H2. Here's how to make this recipe with process shot. And then here's another H2. Here are some tips expert tips to make sure that you know how to do it perfectly the first time, and then we have some related recipes and we're done. So
here's something I find interesting, Casey, and maybe you will too, being in this industry, but and I don't know if this is something that you guys have already, you know, begun optimizing for, even thought of, but as I do in a lot of this stuff with search and being in this industry for as long as I have, you know, I observe things, mm-hmm. you know, that, yeah. like my kids do, how they search. I observe my wife, and one of the things I've noticed that she does with recipes is, you know, she'll go through and she'll find those recipes that she wants that are easy, that have it within the screen where she can do a screenshot and then go back and refer to that screenshot when she's at the store to buy the ingredients or whatever that she wants. And
that's usually, she's probably screenshotting the recipe card.
Exactly.
Because the recipe card is really what we want to have, the most important information. And I try to teach bloggers.
Because they'll skip right over it if they don't have that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the point is that there's two parts of the post. There's the blog post and the recipe card. And the recipe card needs to have the most important information. So I see a lot of people kind of fail to understand that. This is why we need to put notes in recipe cards, is the most important information that we have needs to be repeated in the recipe card, because most people are just going to print this out and take it with them. And this is also why there's a lot of confusion with regards to video. Video is great, but I can't tell you how many focus groups I've done, and I've always asked people the same thing. If you're in the kitchen and you're looking at process shots or a video, which one do you prefer? And they said, well, I always look at the process shots because I don't like stopping and starting the video. So little things like that, when we talk about UX, is that, you know, run the data. Do these things. And it's hilarious when you see people pushing video because of the video carousels. Well, you know, again, I get that. But if you go and look at any search these days, the video carousels are becoming muted in many ways. It's more about putting nice, if you know, these huge recipe carousels now show up on most everything, especially on mobile, where the recipe carousel is populated by the nice, pretty thumbnail or the featured image.
Right.
And then all the information in the cards right there at the top. So good times. Good times.
I had a boss. Oops, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say, I had a boss once, and we would test everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so even if you're sitting and going, well, I don't have a food blog. No, all of this matters to you in your content. And what we would do is, like, Dave, which one do you think is going to win? Which one do you think is going to win? Sometimes we'd bet like a dollar or a quarter, you know, and the winner basically got to go buy, you know, an ice cream sandwich for free out of the vending machine. But we were always wrong. All of us were wrong. Like, which one's going to win? There'd be four options. We would always pick the wrong one.
Oh, exactly.
We don't know. The data
you. And if you're on the call right now and this is news to you, I strongly urge you to consider installing, if you're on WordPress, start installing and using a plugin like Hotjar.com. Hotjar.com, very easy to use.
Yep.
The average person can use about 2,000 sessions a month for free. You can film. You can see on desktop specifically how users are navigating your content. Use that data to refine your offerings. Maybe we need to move some elements around. Maybe you can clearly see when these users are using user-first optimizations like jump and print recipe buttons, or, hey, maybe they're pretty upset with that excessive intrusive pop-up that's happening, or maybe they don't like the fact that when I scroll down the page, you've got auto-playing video that even though it's muted, it's still popping up, covering some of my screen on the right-hand side. Maybe those are not things that we could, you know, that we want to consider using going forward. And if you have the time, sign up and start using a site like usertesting.com. Usertesting.com, probably the best platform out there for this. You can set up your own user tests. You can go ahead and recruit people to do this so that you can see how they're navigating your site. And because that kind of feedback is invaluable. And it's not feedback you're going to get from your ad companies. It's certainly not feedback you're going to get from these crappy SEO courses online that try to sell you like, okay, hey, here's what you need to do. You need to wrap your H2s or you need to wrap entire paragraphs in H tags or other ridiculous stuff like that. You just don't do that nonsense. It's going to hurt you long term.
I find this fascinating because, number one, I didn't realize how hungry I was going to be after this session. And also, like, as we're talking about all this, I think about, okay, you know, I think you're absolutely right with the still shots and stuff, but I also find it funny that I learned how to poach eggs the other day.
And, there you go.
And I did it from a video, and I think the only way that I learned how to do it the right way was from the video, because it showed me, you know, I could watch and see exactly how they created their little whirlpool and spin and dumped it in and blah, blah, blah. And I don't think I could have got that from still shot. So I think it's important, like you guys said, with the testing and figuring out, like, you know, there may be where most of these, they need still shots, or every once in a while there's a video. And, and I think the testing is key, and you guys hit the nail on the head with that. So.
Yeah, and I'm not against video at all. I mean, video is one of those recommended schema attributes for recipe markup. It's not a required element. It's just recommended. But if we can add that, we want to fully enhance the recipe card whenever we can.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And that's just another variable to do that. Where I just get it is that people are choosing video over some of these other easier ways to go.
Gotcha.
And that's a mistake. We don't want to have a post that has two photos of the finished dish, a video, and nothing else, and then a recipe card. There's nothing highest meets needs about a post like that. So we need to really think of your users, get those filled out, and move forward. Now, we were talking initially about the updates at the beginning. You know, Google just recently had a presentation. They published a blog post where they commented that they made 3,200 changes to its search systems over the last year. Crazy. That was the result of 654,000 plus experiments in search.
Wow.
That they ran. That is a lot of volatility. That is a lot of changes. I mean, if you think about it, I think it quirks out to something like 9 changes per day to search. And we don't know how many of those changes are to core ranking versus maybe changing the pixel location of a search box, or maybe fooling around with font sizes. We have no idea. But they are changes. And so we, as SEOs, digital marketing professionals, really need to enunciate that, really need to make sure bloggers understand it's a volatile world out there. What might be working for you 6 months ago might not necessarily be something that we can continue long term, especially if it has borderline results. That's why this testing is so important.
And I think with that, that's a great place to end it. I you know, it's been a fascinating conversation, and I do appreciate the time that you've taken with us, Casey. And
the pleasure is entirely mine, gentlemen. So hopefully we can
see
do this again sometime. Yeah, see you guys at PubCon. It's going to be awesome.
For sure. So, all right, guys. Well, for Casey and Dave, I'm Matt Soltu, and we'll hit you guys on another one of these episodes. Thanks for joining us all. Bye.
Thanks all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.